Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said at the beginning, I'm guardedly optimistic now that the Department of Justice has moved on Steve Bannon with this contempt charge. You can't let this kind of stuff go on for 4, 5, 6 years and end up not having anyone testify. This has got some immediacy to it. This has to be done now. We need, if it were you or me or any of us, we'd be sitting in that chair yesterday. And that's why I've asked my good friend Justin Hendricks to come talk with us. Justin's the editor at Tech Policy Press. He's also someone who works over, does some reporting over at Just Security, their website, justsecurity.org. He's got a new piece out that I want to get to. Justin, thanks for taking some time for us.
Thanks for having me tonight, Rick.
So, you know, I'm looking at this Steve Bannon thing. Mark Meadows missed his appointment today, hoping tomorrow we'll see something coming after him. But is this a big deal with Bannon, this contempt charge?
I think just exactly what you said in the opening is right, which is, you know, finally, it seems like there might be some consequences for absolutely refusing to participate in a congressional investigation. And it is good that the DOJ has sent this message that Congress's, you know, request subpoena has to be honored, and that we need the answers to the questions that this committee intends to put forward.
Yeah, I mean, is this? There have been a lot of people beating up on Merrick Garland that he's not strong, you know, not strong enough. He's not active enough. Does this quell some of that, or is he still viewed as kind of a wimp?
Well, listen, from what I saw today, Merrick Garland has, you know, absolutely done what is appropriate and within the law. And, you know, in his news release, I know, you know, he said very strongly that this commitment is about showing the American people that the department is going to follow the facts and follow the law and pursue justice. And that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Now Mark Meadows missed his. There was no doubt in my mind he was not showing up today. I mean, that's not a surprise. Do you see the same path for Meadows, or is it a little more difficult since Meadows was a part of the administration, whereas Bannon was not?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think this does send the shot over the bow there. The committee has issued a statement on Meadows' situation and clearly, you know, intend to kind of pursue him and make certain that he sits before the committee as well. And they had some, you know, pretty harsh words for him today. They say he's, you know, choosing to defy the law, that this defiance, if it persists, that, you know, it's going to have repercussions. So let's hope that Mark Meadows will have a change of heart. I suspect Mark Meadows is maybe slightly different in orientation than Steve Bannon. May fear the result of this sort of contempt situation in a way that Bannon might not.
Yeah, I think Bannon wants to be the martyr, and he's going to do everything he can do, even if it means him going to jail. Whereas I think Meadows, a politician, he's going to try and maybe negotiate himself out of something. But I see Bannon as somebody who wants to burn things down. And, well, the fact is, he said he wants to burn the whole system down. So I don't even have to think that he wants it. He's already said it.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't listen to it myself. I've only seen tweets about this, but apparently tonight he started his War Room podcast, you know, talking through the situation and basically said, you know, look, there's no whining, no tears in the War Room. So he intends to kind of, you know, I think play the strong man here and suggest that he's going down for the cause.
Just as long as he goes down, because at the end of the day, we got to get to the truth here. We got to get to the bottom of this. And for me, the other part of this is not just Bannon and Meadows and the Trump cabal, but members of Congress. When you've got sitting members of Congress who you are aiding and abetting these people, I think that has to come out as well. And I want to see them subpoenaed. I want to see them being forced to testify what they did, where they were, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a really crazy day for news about January 6th, if you think about it. We started the day with the exclusive on Axios about Jonathan Carl's new book, with the audio that was spreading around the internet today. You know, Donald Trump essentially justifying the chance to hang Mike Pence on January 6th, sort of suggesting that he understood the crowd's motivation and why they were upset, the situation as it was, and in his mind that the vote had been stolen and people were seeking redress. So, you know, of course they would be upset. It really extraordinary. I mean, to hear this former president say those words, you know, I remain shocked by things like that, despite the fact that, you know, he proves himself at every opportunity. But then to end the day with Steve Bannon, you know, his former chief advisor, you know, facing having to turn himself in, I think, as early as Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays itself out. But again, I go back to those members of Congress who did, the Boberts, the Greens, Josh Hawleys, all of them, the Jim Jordans, the Mo Brooks. And I know you guys over at Just Security have done a really intensive deep dive into all of the things that Mo Brooks has done over the course of this period. Why is Brooks important in this?
Well, you know, there's been some recent reporting, and some of your listeners have probably seen the reporting in Rolling Stone about the role of various organizers in January 6th and communications that they claim to have had with members of Congress, including Mo Brooks. But then, of course, I guess somewhat famously in the lore of January 6th, the Stop the Steal organizer, Ali Alexander, claimed that Mo Brooks, the Republican from Alabama, was one of three congressmen, along with Paul Gosar, also in the news this week for some unfortunate content related to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and then also Andy Biggs. Those three sort of helped to plan the events of January 6th, and that the idea was to put pressure on Congress while they were voting in order to rally more Republicans against the certification of the Electoral College votes. And so, you know, we really looked at everything that Mo Brooks had said for about a year and a half, and really delved into his mind and his mindset and what might have been motivating him.
No, and it's an incredibly deep dive into this, and we'll get links out on social media how folks can take a look at it over at justsecurity.org. But, you know, it's this kind of stuff when you put it all into place and you start looking at it in its totality, you go, how is this guy running for U.S. Senate, let alone still in the House of Representatives?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Brooks is in a particularly interesting situation. He is in a Republican primary for open Senate seat. And he has the endorsement of Donald Trump. I understand from local news reporting, though, that this primary is competitive. And so, you know, Brooks is not necessarily a shoe-in for what will happen there. But, you know, he's seeking to advance himself politically and clearly believes that he needs the Trump base in order to do that. And so, you know, part of his motivation, I think, for participating in the big lie and continuing to propagate it, even as late as last month, the last public statements I saw from him that were consistent with it, you know, may well be related to that.
It's one of these things that, you know, and looking at that Alabama race, you've got Richard Shelby, the retiring senator, who's I guess, spending $5 million of his own money trying to get the other person. I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Mo Brooks is an interesting character, and I have to say what I learned reading and listening to nearly everything he said. I do think he's a true believer. You know, in his mind, all Democrats are socialists and evil. In his mind, tens of millions of Americans who participate in elections do not deserve the right to vote. They should not be participating in our politics. In his mind, you know, the 2020 election was stolen. And he understands the concerns that these individuals have. In fact, you know, he drew some fire even from some fellow Republicans, you know, this summer when there was a bomb threat at the Capitol. And the man who, you know, was responsible for it, who was unfortunately, I think, unwell, you know, very clearly aligned with some of the rhetoric around the big lie. And, you know, Mo Brooks was somewhat sympathetic to him in his statements. So not unlike Donald Trump in a way, sympathetic to these individuals and sympathetic to the instinct to violence.
Do you have any, I talk to people every day who are starting to feel hopeless that we're never going to get to the bottom of what happened on January 6th, especially as, you know, the right-wing media machine is rewriting the narrative every day. I mean, I have people who contact me and say, no, Rick, you got it all wrong. It was the most patriotic day ever. This was, you know, in Boebert's words, our 1776. This was our trifold hat moment. Is there a way back from this? Because the fear that I have is this runs into next year. Democrats get slaughtered in the next year's election, and Republicans then take over this commission and undo everything that's come out and rewrite this whole narrative.
I do not believe at any point there will be, you know, epistemic closure in this country over January 6th. We will never agree on as a nation on what happened that day. But I do believe that the majority understands what happened. And, you know, look at Donald Trump's statement that came out in that audio this morning. There is no question what happened on January 6th. The president of the United States incited an insurrection against Congress and against the Constitution and against the transition of power in his own favor. And it was an extremely, extremely concerning act, the most worst days in American history. You know, the fact that there are individuals right now, whether it's Tucker Carlson or Mo Brooks or anybody else who's on that side of this question, spinning up just absolute lies and propaganda, it's extraordinary, and it's very dangerous, and it should give every American pause. I'll just add one thing to this Mo Brooks thing. You know, if you look what the sort of evolution of his thinking, he begins to adopt, you know, in December, a lot of the same rhetoric that you see in things like the Eastman memo, that you see the reasoning in this Claremont Institute document that was revealed recently that talked about the transition and how that might play out. This thought essentially around this independent state legislatures doctrine, this idea that the entire election had failed in several states and therefore should be rejected, and that when that happened, Republicans would have the opportunity to essentially install President Trump. That type of thinking is very dangerous, and we may see it emerge again in 2022 or 2024.
Yeah, it's something that we certainly have to be concerned about, because I have people saying that, you know, next year could be the last free and fair election we ever have, and I don't know that I'm there yet, but you've got some folks who are kind of worried about that.
Listen, there is a push all across this country to install, you know, Bannonite or Trumpist individuals at secretaries of state positions in various states. There is an enormous grassroots movement to, you know, install individuals who are sympathetic to these concerns across districts. And we will see what happens. I mean, I think the thing about looking at January 6th so closely is that you realize along the way that there were only a handful of individuals that really stood in the way of real chaos. And often they were, you know, elections officials in places like Georgia and Michigan and Pennsylvania. And if they had been different in terms of their orientation, or they had taken a different decision, then things could have been much worse.
No, things could have been. And looking at, you know, statements by Brooks and others, there were people in our government who were ready to go along with the Eastman memo, who were ready to go along to sacrifice Mike Pence, even if they had to. Were you surprised at the Carl stuff, the Jonathan Carl stuff, that, you know, Trump was basically defending people who wanted to hang Mike Pence?
I'm never surprised by the depths to which he'll go. I still remain... I still have inside me some degree of shock that this person was ever put in a position of power. Someone so craven and so clearly inappropriate for the role of president of the United States could possibly have been cloaked in that immense power. I don't get it, but you know, that was certainly the case. And you know, you look at the people that were around him, and again, having spent so much time thinking through Mo Brooks, in their mind, they have kind of, you know, come to this conclusion that this is the right way to think about things. This is the right way to do things. Incredible amount of motivated reasoning, extraordinary amount of just absolute manufactured reality. And that's something that I think Donald Trump, people like Mo Brooks, are certainly willing to do, simply to manufacture falsehoods in order to remain in power.
Yeah, and look, I give them credit. They're masters at social media. They have figured out how to have a much bigger microphone. Is by far better than the rest of everyone else. Is there any hope? I mean, you're a guy who's someone I look to as almost an expert in social media and messaging. Is there hope for the Democratic Party in coming back and countering the kind of narrative switch that we're seeing?
You know, one of the reasons I am so interested in Brooks, and I am interested in people like Jim Jordan, and I'm interested in other elites who have pushed the big lie and propagated that, is I am very interested in how the relationship between political elites, between individuals, grassroots individuals out there in the world who are propagating their messages, how that all came together on January 6th. You know, that is certainly a prism to look at the problems of American politics through. And I think that we're going to see that same, you know, stew of actors come together again and again, unfortunately, in 22 and 24. But, you know, I am optimistic. I think the main thing that the Democrats have to sort of figure out how to do in terms of countering falsehoods is, you know, how to recognize that they're not playing with an opponent on some level that is ever going to cede that something is false. That's simply not going to happen. And so kind of playing to that is absurd, which is one of the reasons, coming back to it, why I think the Department of Justice made the right decision. I'm glad to see the committee taking the actions that it's taking. It seems to be sort of saying, listen, we're not going to argue about this. Either you're going to come, you're going to provide your testimony, and you're going to provide us with the truth, or there will be consequences. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what the legal system is for. That's what the rule of law is for.
That is absolutely what we need. Justin, I appreciate the time and the work that you do. I hope folks will take a look at your piece on Mo Brooks over at justsecurity.org, a timeline of Brooks's January 6th efforts to overturn our election. We'll get links out on social media how folks can take a look at that. But as always, great talking with you. Keep up the great work, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again real soon.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Good stuff, Justin Hendricks. If you got any thoughts, questions, comments, something in your mind, shoot us an email, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.